I came across a young man who was struggling one day. One day he was lying on the ground, and he was in great struggle, not because he was sick, but because God had singled him out to become a prophet. He tried to reason with God. He was too young and slow at speech. Thus, he was not suitable for such a heavy task. But God replied him, saying, "Don't say that you are too young. No, you are not. For I have prepared you when you were still in your mother's womb. I have set you apart to become my spokesperson to many nations. Fear not, for I am with you." So this young man obeyed God's command. His name was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was born from came from a family of priesthood. It was during the reign of King Manasseh, the most ruthless king in the southern kingdom of Judah, when the situation became unbearable and corrupted. Therefore, Jeremiah was born and raised in a time of calamity. Therefore, he was obedient to God's calling during such chaotic times. It was not an easy at all. Now, he was a very timid person. And he was pretty weak. Yet, God continually strengthened him to a point where he willingly put up his life for his people. He bravely called to them and to repent and return to God. So let us pay attention to his struggle in chapter 4, verses 19 to 22. Verse 19 says, "I shall with you my anguish." I hope you will understand his situation at that moment. My anguish, I writhe in pain, and oh, the aching of my heart. My heart pounds with me. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster upon disaster is proclaimed, for the entire land is devastated. Suddenly, my tent is destroyed in a moment of curtains. How long will I see the battle? For my people are foolish. They don't know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled at doing evil, but how to do good, they don't know. Dear brothers and sisters, can you feel Jeremiah's sense of compassion for his people? Do you feel that? I remember when I first read Jeremiah more than 30 years ago, I reached a stage where I had to struggle to continue on. I think it's more difficult for me than to reading the book of Job. I got a feeling that his life was so miserable that I have to stop and then continue, stop and continue. It was so difficult for me to completely read the book of Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was really was very tough during those times. His life was so miserable. You must understand that 2,600 years before Christ, the evil empire of Babylon invaded the tiny kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah warned his leaders that they must repent of their sins. They must return to God. So God wants them to repent of their sins. That's number one. they must really repent of sins and come back to God. And number two, they must return to God and their friends, the Babylonians. Just imagine. Of course, the leaders refused to listen to him. They can first surrender is a no-no. They thought that God would protect his people. There's no way one God wants us to surrender because we are the chosen race of God. But history tells us that Jeremiah's prophecy came true. With his own eyes, Jeremiah witnessed the destruction of his country and his compatriots. Thousands were taken into captivity and brought to Babylon. It was so harsh a reality for Jeremiah to bear. It was the tragedy that the leaders willingly listened to false prophets rather than believe in the things of the true prophet. So how true is the saying that an honest advice is hard to hear? Nobody wants to hear things they dislike. So the leaders refused to accept Jeremiah's suggestion. Sad to say, history always repeats itself. Just take a look around us today. Many churches begin to compromise with the world. No wonder churches that are preaching the prosperity gospel are so successful. Oh, people love listening to sermons that make them joyful and happy. Just like, I am rich and successful because God is blessing me. Oh, when they heard God's servant telling them that they will be prosperous, they enjoyed it so much. So they see they enjoyed that kind of a preaching. They believe that God is going to bless them more and more. That's what we like to hear. Just imagine if your pastor keeps on telling you there is a heavy price for you to pay to bear the cross of Jesus to be a disciple. If I go on telling you like that, I bet very few of our members will stay behind. But let us pay attention to what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 38 says, the one who does not take up his cross and follow me isn't worthy of me. Those who do not take up his own cross, they are not worthy to be my disciples. So two things. First, you must bear your own cross. Number two, you must continue the Lord Jesus. You need to bear the cross. That's number one. Number two, you must follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Only then are you worthy to be his disciples. Otherwise, you are not worthy of it at all. That is the Lord's word himself. What do you think? Are the principles in the Old Testament and the New Testament not the same? And what is the lesson we learn from the person of Jeremiah? Let's take a look. Jeremiah's characteristics, his loyalty, his bravery, and his persistence. Just think about that. In his time, Jeremiah was considered to be the public enemy of his time. All the people detested him. Why? Because no one believed in him. They all detested him. So whatever Jerry says, he look at him, he's a patriot. He betrays his own people. So that's why they don't like him at all. They hated him, in fact. Because they do not understand that God actually wanted to save them from destruction and not the other way around. So just think about it. you, would you continue to of you? I would say Jeremiah would be labeled a total failure because no one believes in what he says. Not even one person is willing to listen to his admonishment, except with the exception of Baruch, the scribe, the person who wrote down all his prophecies. Is like a secretary. Other than Baruch, there is no one else. Yet, in the eyes of God, he was a faithful and staunch servant. Understand that Jeremiah is just like us. He's a person, he's blood and flesh, just like anyone, each one of us. My dear brothers and sisters, in the sight of God, Jeremiah was his faithful and a staunch servant. He was a very strong servant because he was willing to pay the price in order to accomplish what God commanded him to do. I recall the words of my elders. So he was willing to do, put up everything in order to accomplish what God commanded him to do. This brought me back memories of many years ago when one of my church elders reminded me, everyone who wants to be a disciple of the Lord must be willing to pay the price. If you want to be a disciple of the Lord, no one will not pay a price. Especially in a corrupted society such as ours, we need more Jeremiah. In his 40 years of service, Jeremiah has served as God's prophet to 5 kings. Of course, when he went through lots of struggle, 40 long years of service, during that period, he struggled a lot. But that has added to him strength to continue the service. So on one hand, he felt the sadness of God. But on the other hand, he also witnessed the corruption of his people. Throughout the 40 years of his service, no one listened to him. He was so saddened by their refusal to repent. So he continually seek after them to repent, yet not even one person seeks after the truth of God. So Jeremiah cried for his people so frequently that he was called the weeping prophet, because most of his prophetic life was lived in poverty and shame. During this period of his ministry, it was really tough on him. He was thrown into prisons. He was left in a pool of sludge. Can you imagine what kind of life is that? Especially those of us who live in North America. For those brothers who came from China, you may have been persecuted. But in North America, most of us have never gone through any persecution. But what we only do here in North America is just to put in a little bit extra. We are not able to fathom in our minds what persecution that Jeremiah went through. Being imprisoned, being thrown into a pool of sludge. And God even told him to do not get married. Stay single. So he was so lonely when he served God for 40 years. He didn't even have someone to listen to him talking to them. Now if we have a partner, a spouse, we have somebody that will listen to us, But not for Jeremiah. He was so lonely and no one to share his burden. So his entire life of ministry, not one day in his life was there real peace. Basically, no peace at all. So to me, I must declare that Jeremiah was such a noble prophet. The book of Jeremiah can be outlined into four major sections. Section number one, judgment and repentance. Judgment is the means that God used to bring his people to repentance. Number two, godliness and etiquette. The people of the time paid attention only to outward etiquette. They even adopted rituals from pagan worship. So it was for this, they were really corrupted in their religious life. So it was for this reason that Jeremiah continually admonished them to re-establish their relationship with God. He told them they must obey the will of God and not all those external rituals. And they must also, in their action, they must also be shown to worship this true Almighty God. Number three, a typology of the New Testament. If you read chapters 30 to 35, you will realize that while in captivity in Jerusalem, Jeremiah had a vision of revival. So he sang a song about God's redemption. This became his greatest prophetic message of the time. It is likened to the Magna Carta of our faith. What Jeremiah explained, obedience to the law is the approach to blessings. God's law is not just merely a form of external worship, because it culminates into an internal attitude. This is the revelation of the New Testament in the Old Testament. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31. It's easy for us to remember. 31:31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Just imagine, 600 years before Jesus Christ, Jeremiah already received this glimpse of the light of the New Testament. So this brings us to the light of the New Testament. And then number four is an experience of faith. And let us return to chapter 31, verse 1. Now this verse is very important. Number one, it is spiritual truth. What is spiritual truth? It is knowing God. To know this one and only true God, the God who created the whole universe. We are created according to his image. Because before that, we do not know him. But because of his guidance and his calling, we have the opportunity to know God, and he become our godly father. Number two is the spiritual encounter. But just getting to know God is not enough. We got to repent of our sins so that we will not be separated from God. Only then can we get to know God better, know his love, know his peace. God is willing to guide us to the spiritual encounter with God. I hope that you will be able to enjoy the time that you have together with the Lord. Number three is spiritual cleansing. It simply means that when a man repented, God will definitely forgive all his sins. That's because we have been saved, and then we will not sin again. No, that's not the case. So after being saved is that before you were a sinner. Once you have been saved, you are no more a sinner. But yet, because our weakness, we continue to sin. So even all those thoughts that we have in our mind will continue to lead us to sin. Well, so we pray that the Holy Spirit will remind us, will always keep us reminded that we should not continue to sin anymore. So from the very start, we'll begin to understand we need spiritual truth. Three, so number one, spiritual truth. Second is spiritual encounter. And third is spiritual cleansing. So from Jeremiah's message, we have a foretaste of the life of the New Testament. Now we come back to the fourth section of Jeremiah. It is an experience of faith. But now we know that Jeremiah faced a lot of struggles during his ministry. There were times when he felt that it was completely fruitless. He had feelings of agony. We are all human beings. Yeah, we always have weaknesses, even in our ministry. Yeah, just like those missionaries who went to Japan. Experience in Japan, and then none of us is willing to repent of the sins. Nobody listened to his gospel. So how do you think? Of course. Is God really with me? God sent me to this place, brought me to China. Chinatown, we knew it would be better than so many people. And if I can speak Cantonese, I'll be able to speak to more Cantonese-speaking Chinese. I'm sure they will listen to me. And I will have more chances to share the gospel. But in Japan, I mean, there's so many years, not even one Japanese person is willing to accept Christ and be baptized. Well, we are all human beings. We have our wings, so does Jeremiah. But in that 40 years of long ministry, if his feelings of agony, but despite of all those difficulties, he totally understood the heart of God. And at last, Jeremiah understood the heart of God. Let's take a look at chapter 1, verse 10. This is what the Lord said right at the beginning. When God called Jeremiah, let us listen to verse 10. See, today I have appointed you to prophesy about nations and kingdoms, to pull up and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. What do we see here? We see that God's blessings and his plans is first to let them be destroyed, so that they can rebuild his people in the future. God is going to help his people by first destroying them because of the bad things that's going on in them and the weaknesses, and rebuild them in the future. By the grace of God, Jeremiah overcame all the hardship to become a faithful and brave prophet. When I was preparing this sermon, I went and did some studies, and discovered that many Bible scholars who studied Jeremiah's characteristics concluded that even though Jeremiah did not possess any outstanding talent like that of Isaiah or Elijah, he was a very common person. Yet, Jeremiah was one who was filled with compassion and kindness. He loved his country deeply. You can see his love for his compatriots. He was a man of great character. Let's just imagine living in the midst of a corrupt society. He did not give in, nor did he ever seek after riches. Never. He spent his entire life holding on to the truth of God. It's not easy. Not only was Jeremiah a model servant of the Lord, he was one that all believers must emulate. Now, we all know that by now, Jeremiah was a person of temperament. So when he saw his country fell into such disarray, he could not help but weep for his people, weep for them and cry and lament for them. But thanks to be God, his weakness was transformed into strength. He began to have a deeper understanding of the will of God. Now he fully understands the righteousness and holiness of God. That was why he always pointed out the people's mistakes as sinful and against the teachings of God. He will not close his eyes and pretend he did not see their sinful natures. Well, we always try to say, oh, let's don't care about them. Even their sin, let's just not look at them. When someone sins, he will stand up and point out their fault. On the other hand, whenever he saw the poverty and the sufferings of his own people, he grieved for them. The emotion of pain was so unbearable on him. He continued to struggle in such a life of ministry, brothers and sisters. What does that his life reveal to you? It's not easy that beyond you, you want to grow in your spirit, you have to have some kind of, you have to grow up. And when you grow up, there's pain. Think about his bravery. Think about Jeremiah's bravery and his persistence. That will help us through his sufferings, through his difficulties, help us to grow. Now that we have a better knowledge of Jeremiah's mission and background, what inspiration may we draw from this lesson? What have you learned? I want you to think about his bravery? What about his persistence? What about his being so persistent? I want you to think. I want to share with you. I want you to think about the significance that was generated during the exchange between God and Jeremiah. And I learned that there are two words that God likes the most. Come, go. And you not realize that when God calls somebody, whether in the Old Testament or New Testament time, he told them to come. That is his method. It doesn't matter whether it's Moses or Isaiah. He will tell them to come. So after giving them the mission, he standing out saying, go. Go and tell it to my people. Go and tell your enemies. It was always the same. Even with Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at the Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus Christ himself was a good example. He came from heaven. And in the New Testament, Jesus always has this to say. I'm sure you are also familiar. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So many times we encourage one another. If you need rest in your heart, in your emotion, come to God. Come before His Word. When you come to His blessings, throne of blessings, and then you learn and you receive from Jesus Christ, He will give you rest. That's why I want to encourage you. Don't wait until we have need. Don't wait until someone is sick or we encounter big, great problems. Then only do we come before the Lord. Frequently come before God. Come and get closer to the Lord. Because of God's grace, whatever we ask for, whatever we pray for, when we want to come closer to God, God will allow us. Just my son, he doesn't have to ask me for anything. My son, when he comes close to me, I'm sure I will like him. I'm going to hug him, and I will give him whatever he wishes to ask from me. God loves men to come before Him. Because we are children of His. And then, in another passage, Jesus told His disciples to gather together. And He said to them, "Come to me." And then they came to Jesus and they followed Him for 3.5 years. They were equipped in every area. After they were well equipped, Jesus let them go. Two by two, God sent them out. So that they may bring people to Christ. Today we have received the great commandment, the great commission to go out. So once we have been fully equipped, we must go so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. So during this process of coming and going, God's kingdom will be established. The name of the Lord will be glorified. If this church that nobody come and nobody will stand out, I'm sorry. This church is not going to grow. We are wasting God's time teaching us and establishing our church. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. Why are we together? Because we have the same Lord. Because we have the same Lord. In Christ, we become one family, and we must unite together and encourage one another so that we can learn from one another, so that we must be equipped in the Word of God, that we may go out. That is the main purpose of God setting up the church, establishing it on the earth for us. Church was set up not to be like any society or clubs in the world. It is not that way. So we must not forget the two words that God loves the most is come. You must first come before God. And number two, you must go. So we should be trained in that area. We come to church every Sunday morning to worship God. Many people in all over the world come every Sunday to worship God, to praise God, to thank God, to receive His message. And after the worship, and then we attend Sunday school, and after that, we go. What do we do? We go out to fulfill our mission for the rest of the week. We go and do our best to bring the news of Jesus Christ to others. What was the theme of the church even before the pandemic started? I love my family, built up with one heart. Even think about it, it is a two-pronged action plan. Number one, brothers and sisters must be united in the Lord. Because we are all together in Christ. We must be united with the heart of Jesus as the center. So together with the heart of Jesus Christ, we have built our church. What do we use to build this church? What kind of mission is, of course, it is with the truth of God. The truth. We use God's truth to build our church. Just like the Bible's words that we have. So each one of us will, according to our talents, we are come together to serve the Lord. So, we come from different backgrounds and have different understandings, but yet, we united together, we serve God in our church. Depending, regardless of a small or a large church, the brothers come together and serve together when we have different ideas. And it was said that when people have different ideas and we cannot come together, it will be difficult to serve together. We must be united with one heart and together we serve the Lord. Then you will see the joy in the ministry. If we do so, we will see the love that will be exists between the family members, just like in a real family where the parents will be happy when they see their children having together and united. But on the other hand, if parents in the family saw their children were like fighting one another, they would feel very sad. Same thing happened in the church. We must unite together with one heart, that we may build his church. I remember, I would always ask myself, when God brought me from Texas to Kentucky, what does he want me to do in this community? Look, God wants us to build up his church in this community. So every time when I read God's word, I want to share the word of God to you according to what is taught in the Bible. Regardless of which position you are, we have different teams that we can serve. And so together with good relationship between us, we will join hands to build up the church of God. Just like a car, each spare part in the car, they will work together. When they work together, the car will operate smoothly. Isn't that true? And the same with the church. May the Lord help us to have this understanding of unity in the church. Let us grow together. Talk about growing up. Well, then if we talk about church growth, then we have to look at the growth in our church quality and quantity. I must emphasize, we must, both the quality and quantity must grow together. I disagree when we can only concentrate on the quality alone, because there is no way to measure the quality by itself. Just imagine when Jesus Christ took his disciples out to share the gospel, to start their ministry. He trained them and he teach them, and they go and serve all together. So the church of God is like two hands. One hand is to pray and to equip, and one hand is to expand. So if we just continue to spend time on God's word and build up the church in the ministry, but there's no increase in the quantity, you didn't see growth at all. But when both hands, one for quality and one for quantity, when they work hand in hand, we will see that you see the ministry of God will grow both in quality and in quantity. Lately, the reason I've just started a 1 minute video clip called Forge Ahead. It is a 1 minute sharing, especially targeting Christians. Have anyone seen it? And some might have seen it, some might have, might not have. That is the second video clip that we sent out already. It's very short, only 1 minute. I need you to pray and share it out. I sent it out to lots of people in Asia, and many has already watching. And I put it on our church website. So if you pay attention to our website, and you must also take note of it first yourself, enjoy it first, and then share it with your friends. It is called Forge Ahead. I use it to strictly to help build the Christian. And the Joy Station is probably for non-Christian, for seekers, but Forge Ahead is specially designed for Christians to help them grow spiritually. So let's continue to think, how may our church continue to forge ahead for the Lord Jesus? Let us put our heads together to build up His church, especially during this post-pandemic time. Let us regroup and let's think, put our heads together and think about what are the new ideas to reach out to the people that they may be encouraged. I love what Jack says. Jack told me, he said, opportunities are for those who are ready to grasp it. Good example is the great example is that in the parable in the Bible where the servant girls were waiting for the groom. Some of them, half of them were ready, half of them were not ready. And when you are not prepared, so when the bride comes, they will not be able to enter into the wedding. So regardless of whether it's our several ministry, our children's ministry, and we encourage the prayer ministry. And I want you to pray for our looking for a youth leader. I need your prayer support. Because the church belongs to Jesus Christ. So we are here according to His guidance and leadership that we may look for a youth pastor for our church. Don't you agree with that? So everything must start from our prayer group. That is the most important. Whether it's a family, it's a children, and even in the church, number one, go on your knees and pray. Just like in the book of Jeremiah, God is one who listens to our prayer. When we pray to Him in our heart, with our hearts, and seek after Him, He will come to us and He will show us the way. When you're working in your workplace, when you're typing, you concentrate so that you won't type the wrong things. In the same thing, when we serve God, we must also pay attention and concentrate on the work of God. So let's concentrate on God and on His Word. Then God will reveal what He wants us to do. And according to His grace, as abundance, He will send a servant to our church to become our youth leader. So may the Lord help us in this area. Another thing, I want to share one of my observation view. I noticed that people like to upgrade their smartphones all the time. Some of them, even 2 or 3 years, they will upgrade to the latest model. So if you ask them why, they reply that, well, everyone is doing likewise. But after the upgrade, they continue to a much better, newest phone model, like from iPhone 6 to iPhone 12, and all those new models. But after the upgrade, they continue to use their cell phone just like before. They just recheck their friends, watch some news, or listen to TikTok. Nothing different from what they used to do for so many years. So, isn't that a pity? spending so much money on the upgrade, yet not harnessing the full power that is in your hand. That will be a real shame. The message I'm trying to get across is this. After we have been equipped, when we know that God has given us talents, we must ask God to use us mightily. I say it again. All the learning and equipping is to be used by God in the future. Allow God to use me, use you. So the Bible tells us we have been the vessel, an expensive vessel that God may use us. That is the real aim after all this equipping. I want to repeat that all the talents, all the training, all the equipping is for one reason, is to serve God, that we may be used by God as a vessel of blessing. Now that we have this brand new iPhone, the latest version, and yet we just use it. And then you stop there, and then you are not using iPhone for the ministry. When we read about the book of Jeremiah, we realize that the lesson that we can learn from the book of Jeremiah was that when we have received all this equipping, is that we may be used by God mightily. Jeremiah was one of God's best prophets during his tough time. He continued, even though during his lot of hardship, he continued to grow and become strong for the Lord. And that is the main theme of the book of Jeremiah is found in chapter 29. Let's turn to chapter 29, Jeremiah, verses 11 to 13. Let's read God's word. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Brothers and sisters, God is not one who will punish you and for our mistakes. No. Right from the beginning, God is a God who wants to bless us according to his grace. But because we continually sin against him and refuse to repent, just like during Jeremiah's period of time, from the leaders to the citizens, nobody is willing to repent. They refuse to listen to God's word. Only because of that extremity that God punished them. But God's heart is to give us peace. It's because hope and future. So let's learn from the life ministry of Jeremiah that we may be able to learn more. Just like Jeremiah has been used by God. So may God use you mightily. As I hope you have heard the words that God wants you to hear today. Lord, I thank you that there are many who will refuse to listen to your words because we know that the harsh words are not easy for us, for the ear. Therefore, we pray that your Spirit will continue to lead us, to guide us. Remind us that we are God's children in Christ. So that we understand that we must have the heart of Jesus as our heart.